I will start with reading the reading we just heard again. It says, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep." The word "fallen asleep" is so comforting. It sounds so much better than death. And it carries on to say, "According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangels and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we'll be with the Lord forever. Therefore, be encouraged." Encourage one another with these words. You know, that image is like going to the Louvre or to some art gallery and seeing those wonderful paintings of people in the sky, and it looks so unrealistic, and you think, well, this is like a fantasy. But the word of God says it's not. It can happen. Most of the world believes that when you die, you die. You're buried or cremated, and you cease to exist. That is so bleak. And I find it very difficult to live with that thought. But this way of thinking, I believe, is what sometimes leads to either reckless living or despair and loss of hope. Whichever way you look at it, it is pretty dire. Recklessness or loss of hope. However, as believers in Jesus, we have a hope in the resurrection. Paul tells us in Corinthians that since we know that Christ Jesus was raised from the dead, then we know that all believers will ultimately be raised from the dead. The Bible tells us that when the Lord comes, he's going to bring with him all of those who died knowing him as their Lord and Savior. For this reason, we do not grieve and mourn like people with no hope. It doesn't mean in grieving we have no hope. After all, our Lord Jesus cried. He wept when he came and found his friend Lazarus has died and had been buried for 3 days. Loss hits all of us differently. And sometimes, because we are uninformed, we give ourselves a really, really hard time for either not grieving enough or overdoing it, as people say. You cannot grieve too much. We feel guilty, and sometimes we blame ourselves for situations we really can't do anything about. Perhaps if I'd called the doctor. Perhaps if I had remembered, you know, that day. And I lived it. I'm still living it. Much less than I did before. Perhaps if I'd called the ambulance instead of taking him to the doctor, they would have found he had a blood clot and he wouldn't have just died, and it's my fault, and you'd go through self-flagellation and you suffer for no reason. And sometimes we blame others. And in all of this, we can't do anything about. And that self-flagellation makes us suffer even more. And this breaks already broken hearts. Grief, as you all know, I'm sure, has got a mind of its own. And we have to learn to live with it. A hard fact is our lives change when we lose loved ones. Our lives are never the same again. And we have to be patient with ourselves and allow grief to take its course. Some of the people we've lost may be people we loved deeply. Some we may not have had very good relationships with. For some, dying may have been released for various reasons, yet loss is loss. And grief comes when there is loss. We all need help on the journey of grief. We need permission to grieve. We all do. We need the awareness that grieving is natural and Christians are not exempt from it. We shouldn't be afraid to expect gentleness from people around us. And we need others to understand that for some of us, time stops. It just stops. It stands still. And we're in this time warp because of grief. And the fact is, painful, sudden loss can take a long time to subside, and a long illness, and finally dying, can also take a very long time to subside. And we may need others to listen, just listen to us say the same thing over and over and over again without overreacting. Nor finding it necessary to give us advice. Just listen to us. We also need people to understand that living with a bereaved person is hard work. And I'm sure there are a few people here who will testify to that. And there are a few people here who have just picked me up so many times. It's okay. It's okay. But having said all the above, some people prefer to grieve privately, without fuss, in their own space, trying to make sense of it. I'm an African woman. I wail and I cry and I sit down and I hit the ground and I'm thinking, Lord, what am I going to do? But there are times when I just want to be in my room, in my thoughts. I don't want anyone to say, Mummy. I don't want anyone to call me. I just want to stay there with my memories. Of course, at the beginning, I felt terribly guilty because my children are quite young. But you know, it is all right. It's okay. It's grief, and we all find ways of dealing with it. There is no set method, absolutely none. Different cultures, different people, different relationships, different beliefs. All this means we grieve differently. When I lost Christopher, I grieved like a Ghanaian woman. I didn't want all these English people to leave me alone in my house with my thoughts and my loneliness and my sadness. I didn't want to shut my door. And I thought, when are they going to come and sit with me and cry with me? So I sent a message to church. I said, please tell them this is a Ghanaian loss as much as an English loss. Christopher's family can be very quiet and very dignified with their grief. I don't want to be dignified with my grief. I want to cry. So there was a lot of tears and there was snot and wailing. And lots of hankies. But my children are little English children. And they did the stiff upper lip bit. And just kept a brave face, made cups of tea for people. And then when everybody left, they fell apart and I was alone to pick them up. It was hard work. Different cultures, different ways of grieving. Some people want the calm, private grief. And the one person that you may want to be there to hold you through the grief is the one person who is gone. When my Christopher died, the one person I wanted apart from my mother, who had died not too long before then, was my mother-in-law, who had lost Christopher's father in the same way I had lost Chris. One moment he was there, and the next minute he was gone. And all I wanted was Granny Joy, because I knew I'd get total empathy, but she wasn't there. So I grieved the best I could. Grief comes in huge and small waves. It will knock you for six on the way to Tesco. You will be walking with your bag in the middle of the town center and you see someone wearing a tweed jacket and you think, ouch, Christopher. Or that cantankerous mum you thought you had, who was so difficult but you loved so dearly, but had Alzheimer's and was being a real pain. And then you see a little old lady and you think, oh, mum, it's okay. It's all right. We have permission to do that. Or that smell, or that music. For a long time, I didn't watch the news. Because until Christopher died, we used to watch the news, and every time we saw a coffin draped in the Union Jack, we would sob. My husband was delightful. He cried. I liked him. We could both cry, and we could both laugh. And we'd cry, we'd mourn these young soldiers. And guess what? They sent me a photo, because my husband died abroad. They sent me a CD. And there was Christopher in a coffin, far away Sudan, draped with a Union Jack. So to this day, I can't watch the news. And if I knew there was a soldier being, and the word repatriated broke my heart for a long time. Now I'm getting used to the word. I couldn't even look at it. But I'm okay. Sometimes we fall completely apart. I gave myself permission to fall apart, because I believe in the Lord Jesus. And you see, when I got hold of Christopher's Bible, he'd underlined so many things, and this message we just read was one of them. So I fell apart. I think I went to my surgery at least once a week. I was on the phone asking for prayers almost hourly. I allowed myself, and that is why I can stand here and talk and share my grief with you. I don't know who you're grieving, but I understand that you're grieving. I understand your pain. And guess what? There's one person who understands it even more than us, who knows it, who has felt it, is our Lord Jesus Christ. The one thing that cuts across of all of our different ways of grieving is God's love and his presence, whether we believe in him or not, because he's God. And what he says is, he can't lie. He doesn't lie. Whether you come to church or not, he loves you and he's there. God cares and understands our loss and our pain, and he comforts us when we hurt. And he has promised that he will come again. And I believe that he will. And on that day, we will meet our loved ones who are asleep in Christ. I've got a little scripture here again that I want to read, which I found in Christopher's Bible. It says, I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. Our loved ones may have suffered all sorts of things, but when they come back, they'll be changed. There'll be no more pain. Whether it's emotional pain, physical pain, mental pain, it won't be there anymore. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, For the trumpet will sound, the dead will rise, imperishable, and will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? In the Beatitudes, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Be comforted. Even when you're sad, be comforted. When you're broken and you're hurting and aching, know that there's someone comforting you. You may not feel it immediately. There'll be a time where you will smile. You will smile again, you will laugh again, you talk about your loved ones. And you will cry again, and you will miss them. We live with it. Some people think you move on. Some people think there's a time limit to grief. There is no time limit to grief. You work through it, and there are good days, and there are bad days, and there are really awful days. And there are days where you walk on air, and you feel yourself being carried. It is all right, whichever way you choose to grieve. Please do. Grace does not depend on suffering to exist, but where there is suffering, you find grace in many facets and colors. Like that child who comes to you on the playground and says, "Oh, Mrs. Rump, I think you're the most beautiful less teacher in the whole world." That's grace. Or that bus driver who is just about to shut the door and you're so broken, and then they stop and let you in. Or that lady along the road who smiles at you and says, "Good morning." That's grace. The fact that you wake up every morning and you can put one foot in front of the other is grace. And just because God works incredible good out of unspeakable tragedies does not mean he orchestrated those tragedies. God bless you all. And I pray that you find peace in your grief. Amen.